Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. Tonight, I would like to share just one verse from Psalm 84, verse 11b. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good things will he withhold from them that walk rightly. So more specifically, I'll be sharing on the Lord will give grace and glory. Now, the Lord, in the verse 11, he starts off with the Lord will give. Yes, our God delights to give. And that is his nature. His gifts are beyond measure and are as freely given as the light of the sun. And he will bestow all needful favor on his people, you and me, and all of us in this life. He says that no good things will he withhold from his people. Indeed, the Lord Jesus says, if he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him, which is the purpose that we come this evening to seek his face. God will withhold nothing that we really need, nothing pertaining to this life, nothing necessary prepare us for the life to come. In Philippians 4, verse 19, God's word says, for my God, or our God, shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, the Lord will give. Also implies more grace will be given till we need no more. Just like the manner that he supplied to the Israelites in the wilderness, he fed them till they want no more. The Lord giveth more grace. His love has no limit. Like we have sung in the hymn, in the opening hymn, his grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. I'm sure all of us in our Christian life, we have experienced grace upon grace that the Lord has given to each one of us. The Lord will give grace. What grace? What is grace? It is God's unmerited and unearned favor to us. He gives converting or saving grace. First grace to save us. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. So even if with our start of our spiritual life, we need God's grace. God's grace to know him, God's grace to know that we are sinners, God's grace to know that he is a savior and there is none else. And so we started off with grace. We don't deserve it. God, in his mercies, grants us his favor. Now, besides the first grace, God supplies all sorts of grace, such as faith, hope, love, and every other favor for our Christian living. He gives grace abundantly and readily in all its forms to his people. Grace to comfort us. Grace preserve us in our going out and our coming in. Grace to sanctify us in our Christian life, that we may know the truth. Grace to direct us, for oftentimes we grope in the darkness. We do not know what decision to make. And grace to instruct us in righteousness. And grace to assist his people to live this life on earth. Yes, sickness may befall us, but the Lord will give grace to us to endure and to comfort us. Poverty may happen to us, but grace will surely be granted. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We need to learn that in him and with him is all our sufficiency. Trials and health may afflict us, but grace will carry us through. For God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that we may be able to bear it. Finally, death may come or must come, but grace will light a candle at the darkest hour. Just as the Psalm 23 tells us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rock and thy staff, they comfort me. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You see that in all aspects of our life, no matter whether sickness, poverty, trials, or health, or even death, God pours his blessings, his grace into our soul without ceasing. And he's always there to help us, whatever and whenever it may occur. We must be discerning to know that God is near us, always ready to help us. Oh, how blessed to enjoy such an unfading promise. The Lord will give us grace. And without grace, we would not be what we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. So the Lord will give great glory. He not only give grace, but he also will give glory. What is glory? Glory is God's honor, which is one of his attributes. The Lord will give glory or honor in the world to come. The glory of heaven, the glory of eternity, the glory of Jesus, the glory of the Father. The Lord will surely give to his chosen. Now we know that Adam and Eve were with God in the garden, in the cool of the day. And that was like heaven on earth. So God has provided us. So Adam and Eve experienced God's glory before they sinned in the Garden of Eden. At Mount Sinai, Moses saw God's glory, but not his face. For God's glory was too awesome and powerful to be seen completely by man. Again, Isaiah saw God's glory and say, woe is me, for I'm undone. In the New Testament, we have the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were given a glimpse of the glory that Jesus had before the incarnation at the mouth of transfiguration. Yes, all these saw just a glimpse of God's glory. And after God has bestowed grace and favor upon us, he will advance us to glory and honor, which he will never cease to enrich us. And the day will come where we shall see God's glory as he is. So we put them together, the Lord will give grace and glory. Grace is God's first gift to us, and glory is his last gift to men. Glory never comes without grace coming first. We started off with grace when we are saved, but grace never comes without glory coming last. The two are bound together. Now, there are things in our life which must be taken in order. And if we would win the second, we must secure the first, just as our salvation. And heaven stands not first, second. And only by persevering to the end can we win it. The cross must be carried before the crown can be worn. And that's the reason why Jesus asks us to forsake ourselves and to carry our cross daily and to follow him, to deny ourselves. We too must learn our Lord in his humilities, in his humiliations, or we shall not rest with him in glory. And whoso owns grace shall surely gain glory. And that is God's promise to us. He who received God's grace on earth will partake of his glory in heaven. Let us therefore persevere on, although the going is tough. For we are told that we are compassed about with so many witnesses who have gone before us, who have endured the cross, who have despised the shame as our Lord had done. And our conquering captain, our Lord Jesus, shall cheer us on. And he is still the perennial spring of joy and life and glory to his people. The Lord will never deny us the glory to whom he has freely given grace to live upon. Next slide, please. How can we apply what we have just learned? Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Yes, by the grace of God, Paul labored more abundantly. Having received the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul did not stop there. Lest the grace of God was bestowed upon me in vain. But in response, Paul labored more abundantly. As much as the Lord enabled us to do. Therefore, for the night cometh where no man work. So in each labor, let us also do so more gratefully, more joyfully, and more faithfully. Gratefully with thanksgiving, for God desires us to express our gratitude to him for all that he has done in our life. Yes, we must serve the Lord and serve and labor on with gratitude. Joyfully, not grudgingly, and the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Faithfully, because he who is faithful in little shall be faithful in much. So in such laboring spirit, we will find more grace. Bitters will grow sweet and hard things easy because the Lord grants us grace. And eventually, we shall be with him in glory. We cannot hope for reward without labor or honor without toil. The men of this world labor tirelessly and sometimes I call it madly and unscrupulously to gain what that which they cannot keep. Let us, as the Redeemer of the Lord, labor on for the meat perishes not. To labor, please our Lord, till we receive the Master's well done and his invite to enter into his rest. God knows that we need grace to labor. We have a strong argument to plead with God tonight because he is faithful to call us, who also will do it. And Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I pray that this short devotion, that the Lord will give grace and glory to his people, to you and me, will encourage us to labor on more abundantly like Paul, and in each labor to labor more gratefully, more joyfully, and more faithfully till the Lord bring us home and we shall see him as he is, his glory, which man on earth could not see while he's here, but there is a glory that awaits all of us till the day the Lord calls us home. I was trying to research where does the HGG, those of you who know what HGG means, the hymnal of grace and glory. I couldn't find, but tonight, through this short devotion, we could understand why the person who compiled the hymnal, hymn of grace and glory. Yes, we all started with grace, and we will receive the glory that God will prepare for us and give to us one day. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, tonight we want to thank you, Lord, for granting us your grace. Your grace to that save us from sin. Your grace that call us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Your grace that sustain us. Your grace that preserve us. Your grace that watch over us and keep us. God, we need thy grace, for we are weak and needy. And I pray that, Lord, you will help us to be confident that thou who have given us grace will continue to give us more grace till we receive the glory that you have prepared for us in heaven. So bless our gathering together in prayer that your name alone may be glorified. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.